This is Paris.
Hi, Nikki.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to be on your show. You guys, yes. Your show is so good. I just listened to so many episodes today. It's so good.
Thank you. Welcome to the iHeart family.
Yes, dude. It's I am so excited to be doing this.
Hi, Nikki. I'm Hunter. Nice to meet you.
Hi. I feel like I know you from listening to you. Nice to meet you too. And you're like from E, right?
Yeah. I have that show Nightly Pop on E.
You have Nightly Pop. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I've heard such great things about it. I haven't had a chance to see it as there's so many things to watch, but
very few people have seen it, so that's okay. It's
No. It's talked about. It's been on a while.
We've done like 300 episodes, but it's also a cable television show, so it's like, you know, it's hard to get
that's
an audience.
That's successful. I'm doing a pilot with E right now, and you know, the big fear is like, oh, you know, no one will watch it. It's like, oh, then good. Like, fine, I'll get paid to make this thing that, you know, and like I can really have fun with and let loose. And it's still TV. It still looks good.
Yeah. We just have to get on Paris's level because it seems like every time something new pops up, Paris is at the forefront right now.
Oh my God. Paris is an investor in the thing that is the new thing of everything that pops up.
Yep.
It's, yes, I look to you to see what the trends are and for what is cool. I do look to Paris as I have for over a decade now, much, much more than a decade now. Like I have loved Paris for so long, and it's my ability to even DM you and ask you to be on my podcast and then for you to ask me to be on yours is such a dream come true. And then I listen to Amy Schumer's podcast. I'm like, oh no, she says yes to everything. I hope she knows. I hope she knows she can say no. But I will always take that into account now when I ask you for favors.
No, I love you. So I meant the yes.
Oh, I feel like you would be honest with me at this point, but yeah, it's been great becoming like friendly with you and trying to get in that inner circle slowly but surely.
I love you.
I love you.
So are you single right now, Nikki? Is that what we read?
Yeah, I've been single for so long, and the last time I hung out with Paris, I was like haranguing her to get me a boyfriend. I was going after her boyfriend or her fiance's brother, and I was and she was like, he's in a relationship, and I was working on how we could ruin that. You know, I was plotting all of these things. Like, he sounds so great. He looks just like I want in that family, and then I would definitely get to hang out with Paris more because I'd be, you know, like in the fam. But but yes, I'm putting it out there. I'm very single, and I just feeling frustrated, honestly, about, well, actually feeling at peace for the first time of like, if I don't find someone, if I'm not lucky enough to meet my Carter, then like some people aren't, you know, and I'll be okay.
No,
because I think it is luck.
You'll meet
someone. How has dating been during the pandemic?
You know, it's like at first I just was like, oh great, this is a good excuse to like stay away from men and like not have to force myself into intimacy that I don't want. So I was like, oh no, I can't get within 6 feet of you. It was like a dream for me of someone who like doesn't want to date. Like I have to force myself to date, and it's really rare that I like someone. So I think I like waited around for a bit, and then, you know, ex-boyfriends started like sliding in and wanting to reconnect. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll have some like Skype dalliances late at night in my old childhood bedroom, because I was at my parents' house for most of the pandemic. And then the ex thing is like, I've gone down that road too many times, but it's hard not to because it's so easy. You're already comfortable with the person. And it's just hard to meet. It's hard for me to like someone. I'm extremely picky. And Paris, I'm guessing you are as well.
Yeah, I'm very picky.
Are we all?
Yeah, I think it's important to be picky. If you're like choosing someone who's going to be with you for your life, like there's no point in wasting your time.
I agree. It's like, it's something that you have to have so much intention for, but that's why I'm like, my ring light went out and I'm freaking out, you guys, but I still look great. It was like an emergency code red over here. No, I feel the same way of I really enjoy my time by myself now. I know what I like. I know what I like to do. I know when I need to invite some friends in so it doesn't get depressing. Mm. And I know how to please myself finally at this like late stage of my life. I'm able to masturbate and have a pretty good time.
That's hot.
And what'd you say? That's hot.
Yeah.
It is hot. It's so hard to do because it's so awkward because you're alone and you feel like a loser. You're like, oh, what am I doing alone? It was very hard for me to do. But now I'm like, I'm kind of fine. So to be someone that I want to potentially marry, which I can't even imagine that, you have to be extremely special and you have to be better than my life is right now and it add to it. And my life is pretty damn good, but I would like, you know, someone to do the things to me that I do to myself. That would be nice. So I didn't have to do so much work, you know?
So I felt like we found the core. Your love language might be physical touch right now, just based on pandemic.
I think it always has been, but I've been reluctant to accept it because in my last relationship, that's all I wanted. And I would do it to him. You know how you like do your love language to the person so you like think they'll get the hint that does. I seem to do this a lot. Don't you think I might like this? And they don't. So, yeah, I think looking back on my one relationship that I was like, oh, that was actually really real and a true, like committed, like intimate relationship. I definitely need like someone to touch. So yeah, I'm pretty, what do they call it during the pandemic? Like touch starved or something. I'm probably that. I get a lot of foot rubs.
Yes.
I get massages all the time because as a single person, it's just a way for people to like touch you. And it's not sexual. I mean, many of massages are sexual, but just having someone touch you feels nice. I had a makeup artist rubbing tanning bronzer on me the other day, and I thought she was just coming up to like comfort me, to like be like, babe, you know, like just a nice motherly. And I go, oh, I grabbed her arm to be like, oh, and she was like, oh, I'm just trying to get this bronzer is like smudged. Right? And I was like, oh, okay. Like I grabbed her arm like, finally, someone cares. And so you know what I'm interested in is I was listening to, I don't know if you followed up on this another time, but I was trying to get to know you, Hunter, through the podcast about you. And you were talking about how you met someone over a trip from Quebec. And it was like this weekend of romance, but no sex. Very interesting. And that you were kind of like excited about this person. What happened there? I'm dying to know.
Yeah, what happened?
I think I got too excited about this one. And then I think, you know, you have to go through a vacation romance or two to realize that they're just a vacation romance.
Really?
Yeah. It's also, you know, it's of all the times to try and do like a vacation romance and elongate it and turn it into something that's a little bit more special, doing long distance between countries when the borders are closed is really awful. And so we kind of, it just fizzled out. But it's also, I'm the type of guy where I will get, I mean, head over heels in love with somebody like every other week. And my friends are like, okay. And then something will happen. And, you know.
How often does that work out for you? I mean, obviously you're sick. Do you mind asking, like, have you been married before?
Never been married. I was in one long relationship for 5 years. And then when I got single a few years ago, I've been single since.
Are you looking for a girlfriend?
I think I'm at a stage where like I'd be open to it, but I also.
But you get too excited too soon because that's the interesting thing. Like girls want you to like be like, we want you to act like you're not into us. And then we get mad when you're not into us. And it's like, when you put all, like you probably meet a girl and you're like, oh my God, this, you like start picturing the future. I've done it before too. I start picturing the future and I tell myself, do not get too excited. Do not come on too strong. Do not let yourself fall because this has happened before. And then somehow they sense your energy is like more invested than theirs and they like just back away. And it's hard not to do that though. Do you find yourself, because all your friends are like, oh, you're in love, pulling back and not revealing too much because of that?
No, I'm so comfortable with my friends and family about like my life and my love life. And I'm not really one to hide my feelings in any capacity with them. But I think the thing about that, like losing interest, I always say that like true love is when you feel really lucky that they want to be with you and they feel really lucky that you want to be with them. It's like,
yeah,
it's this feeling of like, mutual. Oh, we both scored, mm-hmm. You know, and you have to have that. You have to both feel like you've got like this prize, and maybe they're not the best looking person traditionally to everybody, but to you, they're a stunner, and to personality wise, it makes them 10 times more beautiful, whatever. So yep. That's that. Now I'm,
It's so hard to find, though. It feels like there's always an imbalance. Like, someone is, like, trying, like, oh, she's out of my league. Like, the husband's always trying to earn this, like, her. But it should feel that way of, like, wow, I can't believe... That's how I want to feel. I can't believe I get to be with this person. I want them to be... And Paris, that feels like what you have. Like, you talk of him... I mean, obviously, I know he is, like, I'm with Paris Hilton. I mean, he, like, won the lottery. But, like, you feel that way about him, too, right?
I'm so obsessed with him. He's my best friend. Yes. Everything. I'm like, oh. He was, like, custom made for me in heaven.
Did you feel a chase? Like, did you feel like there was any chase back and forth?
Yeah, I want to know.
It just happened right away. It was, like, literally our first kiss, and we were just glued to each other and literally never left each other's side after that. So we like moved in right away.
How did you not meet before that?
We knew each other for 15 years. So we've been friends for a long time. But I was just always...
And he never...
We like whatever, flirted. But I was always traveling or working or just like not... Like I wasn't ready to open up my heart until this year. So
and that's it. Like watching you find this new layer to yourself that explains so much of your past behaviors involving men and... Just seeing you go through that in your documentary and then hearing you talk about it on your podcast, it makes me realize, like, you know, that person could be there all along, but until you're ready to accept it, it's just not, they're not going to get in. Like, you knew him for so long, but you weren't ready for it. Because I was just thinking, how does this guy not slide in years ago? And so of course he did, or maybe he didn't, but, like, it wasn't, you wouldn't have been ready for this.
Yeah, timing is everything.
Ugh, it is. And it is so about luck. Like, a lot of times, there are times where I'm like, oh, that guy just got snagged up. We'd probably be pretty good together. You know, like, he probably would be good with his wife that he's marrying or whatever. And me. Like, it would have been equally good. She just went to that Trader Joe's that day that I didn't. You know what I mean? Like, or she, it is about timing because I don't necessarily believe in soulmates.
This is Paris. This is Paris.
What's your love language, Paris?
My love language is what are they again? I forgot.
Words of affirmation, okay. Physical touch, quality time, gifts,
acts of service,
and acts of service,
gifts.
Yeah,
and three, right?
Yeah, some people have one, some people have
two. You can have them all if you want.
Mine is definitely gifts and touch and words of affirmation.
Okay, and what about Carter? How do you give love the most? That's the other type of...
Like, what do you mean?
Like, how do you see yourself giving love the most? Is it gifts? Is it acts of service? Is it physical touch?
Everything.
It's easy when you feel like you found the one, you know? You just want to do it all for them.
That's the best.
That's what everyone says is it's easy. You know, and you don't want to hear that because whatever you're asking your friends about, like, comparing your situation to your friend's perfect relationship or seemingly perfect relationship, you always go like, but what, how do you know? And they're like, oh, this time it was just easy. And you're like looking at your phone, looking at the, waiting for him to text you back, like not knowing what's going on. You're like, this isn't the one because it's supposed to be easy when it is. And this ain't easy. Waiting for this guy, watching this, waiting for him to watch my Instagram story or like whatever dumb game I've set up.
You do that?
Well, you know, when I like someone and like, and there's someone that I'm like, oh, I have a crush on them. Like in the past, I would put out Instagram stories and then check who's watching them. And then the algorithm quickly finds out who you like.
It's hard to do that because there's so many people watching that. It's like, you have to like scroll. They put people you follow first.
They know. Well, yeah, the algorithm knows you have a crush on someone. And sometimes I'll remind it. I'll be like, hey, I need to go to his site a bunch. So I'm like, push him to the top.
But that pushes you to the top of their Instagram and not, it's not vice versa. They have to be looking at your Instagram.
Darn it.
Googled this because I also did this. But my friend had the greatest technique and you don't need to worry about this anymore.
I bet. Can I guess it?
Tell me what you think it is.
Watching all the stories until the last one.
What?
Falling off before the end.
That's manipulative and dark. And who would do that?
So people I'm dealing with.
here's the technique for anybody who's got too many followers. I'm really doing this only for influencers here. But basically post a close friend story. mm-hmm. have them on your close friends, and that way you know, because that's a much smaller list.
Oh yeah.
Oh, but then they know that you put them on their close friends, and then they'll know that you like them. Like, this is a person that you like aren't close friends with, so they'll be like, what?
Okay.
Because I did just get close friends by like a celebrity that I would probably like to have sexual relations with, and I was like, I'm close friends. Like, I was like, his story was green. And I'm like, I've talked to him one time in my life. Like, this guy needs to reevaluate who he lets.
Maybe he's doing the strategy.
Who his close friends are. But maybe. I misinterpret guys' signals all the time.
Who is
like,
it?
I can't tell you. But I'll tell you off air for sure. But it's just like someone who I would probably never trust in a relationship, but would be nice to be like, oh, I had sex with him when I'm like old and gray. And I'm like, kids, guess who your grandma had sex with? And like pull up this, like, just say it would be like fun trivia right. for my life.
Did you?
You
were. And I don't have sex a lot, so I don't know what I'm even, who I am in this scenario.
When you were doing all the clubbing and you were single and all that, did you ever have that where you were like, oh, that person's like bucket list for so many people, and they're at my club or they're at my table in the club. Did that ever appeal to you? Were you ever like, ooh, I want to.
Hold on. I have literally never been clubbing. Oh, wait. I thought you were asking me. I was like, are you insane right now? I literally was. This is the problem with looking at yourself on Zoom, is you start just guessing who the voice is talking to.
I was looking directly at Paris that entire time I was talking.
No, it revealed that I wasn't watching you guys. And it's just because I'm trying to manage this ring light situation, and Paris understands. Yes. But Paris, I would like to hear your answer to that question, which I thought was directed at me. And I thought I was like... You don't know who I am. Okay, go on.
Yeah, definitely going out back in the day. Well, what was the question?
Like, there's obviously guys going up to your
Paris,
table.
Paris, I didn't remember it either.
Okay, I'll try and be more memorable. There's guys going up to your table in the club or at a party or whatever, and you see like a guy that maybe you don't even know, but because of the aura, it's like a young George Clooney or something. You're just like, I'm going to go on a date with this guy just because that, like, did you have those like moments? Who was like the person that like blew your mind that they wanted to go on a date with
I'm
you?
I'm not telling.
Exactly.
You can't tell
but
one
we would
of them?
Die.
No, because it's mean to Carter. It's like,
I will tell you.
I would never, talk about another
Everyone
man.
Everyone was trying to get, so just take like, and I would put this all the way up until she was with Carter. Every guy that you would go, I would dream to sleep with him, has slid into Paris' DMs or tried to get in contact with her. Every single one. She is like, you, we have, I'm a girl with minimal followers and like very minuscule fame compared to Paris. She got her pick. I can only imagine. That's why I won in the inner circle. I want those names but it's every name. At least tried. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, there's some great guys on your roster, I'm sure, that you're not going to get into. But, and I just mean makeout roster. Like, very, Paris is great at just making out and keeping it making out, which is a skill that I am trying to refine because another part of this whole thing of talking of finding the one, I'm very cautious about having sex with someone and also scared about feeling the pressure to have sex too soon. And Paris has been like a newfound influence on me to be a blue baller.
Yes.
Just like Miss Blue Baller.
I
sim
love
right
that.
There.
I'm so Miss proud
that
of you.
That was her nickname.
Blue Baller?
That was her nickname.
It was
and
my nickname.
Is.
Who gave you that nickname?
A lot of people, just because, like I told you, my mom taught me just guys want what they can't have. So I've always just been the type of girl who only makes out. And I was telling Nikki this when I first met her. We did her radio show like years ago. And then I did when she was hosting for Jimmy Kimmel. And I talked about it again. And basically, my mom just said, so be hard to get. And only make out and just don't do more because it's just beyond. And like guys just won't respect you. So I've just been the type that always likes to make out and kiss like a teenager and that's it.
I think that is admirable.
What do you make of that as a guy? I want to hear your side of this.
Well, I hate to say it, but it would work. Like I would be much more, I think there would be like this innate desire, but it's also like an unhealthy thing. Like if the person's only there because they want to have sex with you, it's a good way to weed people out because they won't hang around if they keep making out with you. But if they really like you, they'll stay. And I think that's a nice That's a nice thing. But then also it's a time of liberation. If you want to have sex with people, just have sex with people, go do whatever you want.
I agree. But I think that girls also don't, I think this is why I ask Paris about all the time. And I brought it up on my show. And then I was like, when I was on Jimmy Kimmel, I was like, I want to like say something that maybe a girl will say. Like, I like to talk about things that might cut through because I don't think girls know that they can give guys blue balls and that's okay. And that anytime a guy, like, cause we do so many things out of, you know, just wanting to be nice. Like Paris, you were even saying before in your conversation with Amy Schumer about you just like say yes, you don't want to say no, you don't want to hurt someone's feelings. And guys can put you in a position so unintentionally a lot of times where you feel bad, you've misled them. You got to do what they want you to do. And so to have someone so like adamant about like, give them blue balls, don't give in no matter what. It doesn't matter. They bought you dinner. Yeah, they should have. They got your Uber. Yeah, they should. They're trying to sleep with you and you should, they haven't earned it yet.
Totally.
And so I do like that side of it, but I also do agree that if you want to have sex and have casual sex, I am so proud of you. And I love that you can do that. I cannot, I get feelings for people when I let them in my body and I can't help it. So I can't let that lady out of the cage unless it's like a guy's going to stick around because it'll just, you know, ruin my life.
I think it is. It's a nice message to actually make empowering for the woman as opposed to what it has been. Cause I also think like, it's funny you just said that. I was thinking like, there are so many guys who feel entitled to it because they did the dinner and they, you know, they got ready and they brought you out and they did all this. But if you look at the total cost of a dinner, let's just say it's a really nice dinner in LA, maybe $300 for the two of you. What does he expect? Does he think that's the value of having sex with you? It's not. It should be an infinitely high number, you know, and you should have sex when you want to have sex. We just got very, very
sexual. No, it's true. You should. But it's good. It's good to know. But it's also like it's hard sometimes when everything else in society, when someone does a favor for you, you owe them, you know, and certainly as a woman, you owe them. Oh, she lent you that thing. You got to lend. There's always this reciprocity of not just being, I don't deserve anything. So I have to constantly give back to prove. And it's just, it's very, I could have really used that encouragement to give guys blue balls when I was a young girl and be a little bit more empowered. I have it now and I'm ready to use it, but it would have been nice. So I just think it's a really nice message that Paris inadvertently put out there.
I think it's very good advice. I'll definitely be telling my daughter. And I think also just what I've been through, like when I was, you know, in my past, just going through so many hard situations that it also just made me scared of guys where I didn't want to let them in and I didn't want to do things like that. So I think it's a mixture of my mom's advice and life.
Paris, do you cry? Are you able to cry? And I'm asking that totally like as someone, I can't cry and I want to know if anyone else can't. You can cry?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's healthy to like let out your emotions and if you're sad to cry. I don't cry anymore because I've never been happier in my life. But
yeah,
you know, I've been through a lot of things in life where I would cry a lot. And just even with the media, making up stories and just like dealing with that since I'm a teenager, it was really hard. I would cry to my mom all the time.
I didn't think about going through all of that as a teenager when I was someone who cried a lot, but I find it harder to do now. And I understand you saying like, oh, I'm happy, I don't cry now. But I think even when you're happy, you need that release. So, well, sometimes like can a sad movie elicit a cry for you? If you like feel like you're like need to cry,
yes.
What gets it out for you? I literally need to ask people like, how do you cry? Will you like tell me your tricks?
You because can't cry during sad movies.
I mean, I just go like, this is a movie. I don't know. I just, maybe I'm on too, like my antidepressants are making me not be able to feel things, but it takes I can get sentimental and I can go, wow, that was like, that's going to change the way I look at the world. Like I just saw some movie, The Sound of Metal.
Such a good movie.
Oh my God. And that got me very close to crying and I felt it hard, but it was, I find crying to be very interesting because it was something I did as a kid to get things. And so now I feel like when I do it, I'm being like manipulative. And so I don't let myself do it. It's very interesting.
I have the same thing. Like I don't cry. And it's because when I was younger, I got yelled at a lot and I realized that emotion when I was getting yelled at would just dissipate. Like the next day I was not in trouble. So I was like, all that emotion was for nothing. Let's like, why are we? So I just learned that emotion was very like, it's just, it's like this thing where you can't control yourself. Now I've learned like being able to cry is cathartic. And
yes,
especially as a guy, it's nice to be able to show your partner that you're a human, and that they're not alone in their emotions and stuff. So it's definitely something that most people should work on if they can.
Yeah, and that's why I asked. I was thinking of, I'm trying to get more techniques to get it out of me, because I think I'd be a happier person if I was able to let it out and like really have some sobs, because no matter how great your life is, there are things that are going to be very upsetting to the point that you could cry. And that is, I kind of feel like a man in that way of like, I'm not allowing my, I'm too ashamed to cry. There's something about it that's causing me shame. And so many men feel shame to cry, too ashamed to cry. And that's going to make them look weaker, you know, and it's still so stigmatized. And I think it's the hottest thing ever. When a guy cries, I literally get turned on in a way that makes me feel like I can't be there for them emotionally. Like my ex-boyfriend once started sobbing, and it was the only time I'd seen him like actually emote like heavily. And it was so erotic to me, because I was like, oh my God, he's like getting to a like this real place. I got like horny while he was sobbing, and we were having sex like as he was still wiping his tears. Like it was really inappropriate, but that's how much I wanted men to like feel. I'm like, please, like, but I think it's just projection. I think I just want myself to feel. It's very hard for me to do, but luckily I have, you know, the ability to go on podcasts and talk it out and be honest and have my new show that is going to be very cathartic, because I love talking about these things and being open about stuff that I'm struggling with, because I found that the response you get from your fans and listeners is like, you're making them feel less alone, but they're making you feel less alone. And it's like, it's very important to have that in my life. And without stand up recently, I haven't been able to get that feedback from the audience of, is it just me? And they laugh and they go, no, we're laughing. It's us too. But with a podcast, I'm going to be able to get that again.
Yeah, it's so much fun. I love having a podcast.
You're great at it. And it's, as a fan of yours, it's such a great new side of you. It's such a perfect extension of the Paris we get to know in This Is Paris. I mean, I love that it's the same name. It's the same new Paris that it feels very authentic and just is lifting the veil and showing us that you are in control all along. And I just love it.
I would love if we eventually did a podcast where she came in just some frumpy sweats and no makeup. And she was like hungover and she's like not happy to be there. It would make my whole year. I think I'd be so excited.
I wonder. Not happening. Have there been days where you had to work and you did look hungover and you looked beyond, and like I sometimes think about you just like pressing, like in your documentary, I think you were like, do I look beyond? And you looked like the most stunning like you've ever, like, which is, you always just look the same anyway. You always look like you're walking by a poster for like a new perfume, like the most glam. You always look that way, but you were in the documentary and you were like, do I look beyond? And I always think about that when I look in the mirror and I go like, you look beyond, like I truly look beyond sometimes. But is there ever a day that you looked so beyond that you were like, I can't do it? Because you're a workaholic, and I know that when you have something to do, you show up. Has there been a day that you're like, I just can't put on the lashes today, I can't do the spray tan, I can't?
Yeah, I feel like everyone feels beyond sometimes, but I just put sunglasses on and then
you
fine.
Called in beyond. Yes. Okay, I just got some sunglasses and my roommate was like, you should wear those on Paris's show. And I go, holy crap, like I got these from my friend and I put them on, and at first I was like, these are ridiculous. And then I go, oh my God, I look like Paris Hilton, because it covered up enough of my face that I could like look like you. And I go, oh my God, maybe she does that when she like doesn't want to, when her eyes are like a little puffy or something. Is that the secret?
No, just I'm shy. And I was telling this to Hunter before, when I watched Adam Sandler's movie, Big Daddy, where he tells a little boy, like, if you're shy, like put on these sunglasses and you'll like disappear. So I kind of just do that. And then I feel like less shy, and I just love sunglasses. They're just amazing.
Oh my gosh. I love that, because every time I wear sunglasses indoors, I go, you are a tool, Nikki. You look like you're trying to look cool. Everyone's going to comment on it. But the truth is that sunglasses do make me feel so safe and removed. And like, Like, kind of just like, I'm like hiding and just kind of watching from the outside. They're such a security blanket, and I'm going to start wearing them if I want to.
Hell yes.
I wear them. I'm a blue ball with my sunglasses on. Yes.
Oh my God. I love it.
Oh my God. Me too.
So you saw the documentary though, and I think you even mentioned, yeah, I think your boyfriend mentioned Sarah Silverman, who we had talked about on the show, and then she issued this apology for like some of the jokes she said. And it, I wonder if you're also like experiencing any of this, like comedians going through this opposite of a renaissance. It's like a cancel culture wave. Have you had to deal with it? Do you, you know?
You know, I hope that if something comes out, because listen, I can say I've never made jokes at these people's expense. I've never made that kind of joke, because right now the person I am would never make that kind of joke. But I can't, I don't know what I've done. There are times you see a picture of yourself and you're like, no way would I ever think that hat looked good. How the hell would that, would I leave the house with that fedora on and then go on stage? Like, it seems truly insane that I would wear a hat that I wore a ton, you know? So I can't predict what I was like before. So if something comes out, because I don't know, let's say, that is like so inflammatory, makes someone feel so bad. I know I was an idiot for so long doing stand-up comedy. I started doing it when I was 18. I said the dumbest things. I wanted to be Sarah Silverman more than I wanted to be myself. So if she was doing it, I was doing it too. So I'm sure there are jokes out there that I would go, oh my God, I can't believe I said that. But I also believe that, and I hope, and I know that I'm a good enough person now and I don't want to hurt anyone in anything I do. So I hope that the apology and the way that I could address whatever I've done would suffice to show people that I've grown and that I don't condone that behavior. So I hope I've never done anything like that. But if it comes out, I just know that now I'm not the type of person that would. So I can, like I got, I was in Taylor Swift's documentary. I was in Paris Hilton's documentary.
Yes, you are.
Doing, mm-hmm. Going, that's hot. When she came on my show and first talked about Blue Ballers, it was the greatest treat of my life being in the trailer for your documentary. And then also the show, the movie itself. But I was in Taylor Swift's documentary saying, you know, the one Miss Americana where she talks about, I'm going to go away. I had to go away for a year and disappear. No one saw me. And because it just got to be too much, everyone had an opinion about me. And I'm a huge Taylor Swift fan, like one of the biggest Swifties that, that you'll find. I truly love her so much. Know everything. And I am watching the trailer for Miss Americana come out. On, I want to say a week before it drops on Netflix, the trailer comes out. And as a Swiftie, I'm watching this at like midnight when it comes out. And I'm watching it and I hear my own voice in the trailer at the part of the trailer where it's like, and I had to go away for a year. And it right before that part, it's all this cacophony of like different media people just being like, Taylor Swift dumps boys and writes songs about them and breaks hearts. And, you know, and then it's my voice going, she's too skinny, and all of her model friends, like my voice, and but it's not my image. And I hear it and I drop my phone like in bed so it didn't fall very hard or break, but it like dropped on my mattress. And I was like seriously in shock. And I like my heart stopped because I love her so much, but I know that that's my voice. And I send it to all my my publicist and my agent. And I'm like, I am in this Paris Hilton documentary, or I'm in, I did the same thing for you, Paris, but I was like, in a good way. I was like, I want to know if there's any more. But I go, what did I say? What else did I say? And what is, are they going to show my face and put like a marquee under, like a thing beneath my name? Like the Swifties are going to come after me and I'm her biggest supporter. What the hell did I do? But it was just some dumb blog I did one time where they were like asking me my opinion about celebrity news. And I was like, probably feeling fat that day. And I was like, she's too skinny. I don't like, you know, like just being a little crabby bitch. And I'm also hunched over in the clip because I had pit stains so bad. So I'm like on BuzzFeed Live, like all her skinny friends. And she's like her model friends. I look so disgusting. I'm promoting Orbit Gum. I'm promoting an Orbit Gum commercial that I shot. It doesn't make any sense. I'm promoting a commercial. So I'm there mouthing off about Taylor Swift, who I worship, but who I'm like jealous of that day. And then it's in this documentary. And then the whole week, my agents are like, don't do anything. Don't say anything. I'm like, I want to find out what's happening. So eventually it airs, like it comes out on Netflix, it drops, and I can't even watch it because I'm so scared. And I'm just waiting for my DM someone to be like, hey, you're in this. And sure enough, someone comes in. It's like, you're in this. And it's the same clip, but it actually shows the video of me. Thank God it didn't say my name. And I was like so upset because I realized it was, I listened to Taylor Swift every day incessantly. And I was like, I can't listen to Taylor Swift today. Like, she can't comfort me through this, like, this pain of like having hurt her. And so I didn't know how to process the feeling. So then I just wrote an apology to her because I thought if I go through my agents don't want, even want me addressing it or trying to talk to her. They're scared of her camp, you know? So they're like, just be hush. No one's, don't say anything. And I was like, they didn't necessarily say that, but I get like, they would have been like, yeah, we'll give her a note. And then I would never get to her. So I just put something on Instagram because I knew she would see it because I just knew people would tag her enough. Even if she didn't comment, at least she'd see it. And I just wrote like, listen, I can't believe I said these things about you, especially commented on your body when I have had terrible eating disorders that almost ended my life multiple times. And I'm mouthing off about your looks. I was projecting. This is where it came from. I want to be your friend and I don't look like a model. So I thought that made me disqualified. It was all insecurity. And I just owned up to it. And it felt so good. And I didn't even care if she didn't see it. But as soon as I sent that off, I like could listen to her music again. I just felt like I'm at peace. I know who I am is not someone who actually thinks that about her and meant to hurt her. And I hope she sees it, but I can't control it. And then she wrote back something really nice and it made me feel great. And she was like forgiving and gracious. But all in all, I just mean that. I hope that when I apologize, it is can be sincere enough to be forgiven for whatever I've done. But who knows? You're just not in control of those things. So
I love Taylor Swift.
Long answer.
If you want to get a hold of Taylor Swift, all you have to do is say some really messed up stuff about her and then write her an apology and she'll write you back. So that's the, yes, that's the ticket.
That's it. That's, I really just wanted to meet her and it still hasn't come to that. No. But yeah, it's just like, I followed the whole Sarah Silverman thing. And I remember that joke that she did about you. Like I was watching her with like my mouth, like I was obsessed with Sarah. I was obsessed with both of you at the same time, but I was obsessed with her. And I remember that joke and I remember like, it didn't like make a stamp in my head and I didn't think anything of you because of it. And I certainly didn't think anything of because of her. Like I didn't even think about, like we said, like you don't think that there's a person behind these things that you say and you think they won't see it or you think they won't read that tweet, but they're reading it. Like someone, you see it and it's painful. So now I just try to approach things when I try to make fun of things. I always say it with the caveat of what I'm judging about you right now, celebrity, I don't know. And I've only learned about through Daily Mail intrusive paparazzi photos is that what I'm mad about you about, I'm mad about myself. I'm insecure about this thing. And you make me mad at myself by like exhibiting that thing. So I try to just lace it with that of like, here's this caveat that I know this is about me. What would you tell yourself going into, let's say, season one of The Simple Life, if you were someone giving advice to that girl then of something about the business itself or just Hollywood in general? Is there anything that you wish you would have known then?
Just to not be so trusting with people. 'Cause, you know, when that show came out, it just changed my life forever. And then just had all these people, you know, trying to be my friend and trying to use me. And I don't know, I let in a lot of people into my life that didn't deserve to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was smart about it. I knew by doing that show, I would have a huge platform to help myself build a brand. And that's what I did.
I mm-hmm. mean, this stuff.
If you guys are listening, she's trying to
electrify.
Nikki's trying to stick the perfume bottle into her brain right now.
I have the
that's
purse
how much she
one,
likes
and I'm
it.
Running low, and I'm gonna get some.
I'm
like,
gonna send
I
you
love
more.
The scent. Paris, all the stuff you sent me and gave me in the gift bag that you get when you're friends with Paris Hilton was amazing. But I love the scent. I've been wearing it all the time, and men seem to really like it. And it just makes me feel so sexy as soon as I put it on. And so I'm learning so much from Paris this year. Just the little yes. times I've hung out with her, like. I've learned some key things. I mean, taking selfies with, I mean, Hunter, I'm sure you've taken selfies with Paris Hilton so far.
Yeah, we've done podcast. A few and it's mind blowing. It is just life altering.
It's you look, you go, I thought I knew what I was doing. And you're like, you're in a picture with her and you just go, I don't even know what to do with my body. That would be, you're such a good poser. Like, you're such a good poser. You're such a poser, Paris. Stop acting like you listen to 311 when you just wear the shirt. No, that's what I think of posers from eighth grade. But no, you're so good at striking poses and finding and lighting. I loved hearing about your engagement being like, it better have good lighting, because mm-hmm. people are so, they don't understand that lighting is everything. And there's so many people that are like, I'm not getting a ring light. I just teach on Zoom. I'm a teacher on Zoom. And I'm like, okay, I know you're not trying to look hot for your students, but you're going to look visually pleasing, which will draw the eye and make them want to watch you more, because you're not like in a dark corner in your husband's office.
I paid the most attention to my beautiful English teacher when I was in high school. She got every bit of my attention. So it would work.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I love ring lights are great. They and they're not just for influencers. Everyone should get one if you're doing stuff online, because they change everything. I love having guy friends who know nothing about photography and lighting and being like, oh, this is why you don't get swipes, because you don't know how to light a picture to put on. You look like guys a murderer, like planning your lair in your basement in all of your photos of the seatbelt selfie and the. Do you do online dating at all?
Me?
No, not you. No, Hunter.
Like, what?
If Paris does online dating right now, Carter is going to have an issue with that.
That would be insane. That's like you asking me if I go to clubs and get hit on by Leonardo DiCaprio.
No online dating for me right now. As soon as I started doing the podcast, I realized I should probably never do online dating again, because now they're just kind of all trying to get to Paris through me, and I can't have that.
Oh,
so
yes. That's.
I don't want to fight them off. You know, when they're trying to get to E, I'm like, get there. Take my job. I don't care. But with Paris, I'm trying to protect this relationship.
This is Paris. This is 7 Slitting Questions.
Can I answer them in your voice?
Sure.
No, I'm not. I haven't been around you enough to perfect it, but I did try to get your Alexa to work when I was at your house in your voice. Alexa, wait, I can't do it, but I think I got
horrible,
it too.
Horrible though.
Alexa,
it's like a little bit chiller than I bring to it. My friend Carlisle does a good one. She's going to be on Paris's show too. Okay, yes. Anyway, let's do this.
Tell her I say hello.
I will. She's going to cry that
She's
you said
so
that.
So sweet. Okay. First celebrity crush and current celebrity crush.
Oh my gosh, great question. Okay, first was Dave Matthews. And I just used to like get really horny watching his VH1 Storytellers, and I didn't know what was happening to my body. Like, I didn't know the feelings. I was like, I just feel like I'm like on a roller coaster, and I would like rock on my heel back and forth, and my dad would be like, it's time for dinner. I'd be like sweating, like, hold on, I gotta finish this guitar solo. Like, didn't understand that I was like legit horny. So that was my first crush. And my current crush, gosh, I'm always asked this and I don't know, because I also want to choose wisely, because I'm kind of in this weird area of celebrity where like it could happen. So I don't know if I'd want to like say someone who Zac Efron is with someone, but he's always like up there for me in terms of like, you know, that would be fun. And Timothée Chalamet, I just saw him in something that was very sexy. So I've been thinking about him a lot. I don't know. It changes a lot.
All right. Maybe they'll be listening.
Yeah. If it was a current one, yeah, that's what's the nicest thing. I like these. You can like access celebrities now. If you have a blue check mark, they like might see your DM. So I'm like, oh, I could maybe get one. So I haven't given this enough thought, though.
It's true.
Yes.
There's always a chance. You're always like,
yeah,
maybe,
I mean, truly.
Maybe Dua Lipa is going to see this. And then you realize she's not going to see it. Also, she's in a relationship.
That's true, too. Yes. But you know who I DM'd? Who did I DM that I was like, oh, that was a... I think I DM'd The Bachelor, the Matt James. I DM'd him before I knew what happened with the whole thing, because I was watching The Bachelor and he like reunited with his father and it was so sweet. And I assumed he was with someone at this point in the show. But I just wrote him being like, that was the sweetest thing ever, but also leaving the door open of like, also, if you know, you didn't find the one. I'm here, you know, DMs are open. So sometimes I take a little like, you know, chance. Like
did he respond?
No, he didn't read it though yet. So that's promising. It's nice that you can see that.
Well, he could have read it and not.
I know. Listen,
no, it's a scene if someone's read
why
it.
Why are
not
you ruining this
DM
for me?
Request. Like if like when we look through our DM requests, we can still like, we have to accept it for it to be read. Oh my God, you're so
right. He totally saw it because he definitely does. Because I have enough followers that I can be like, okay, if he has double my followers, I would still read all my DMs. Even though he's getting a lot, but
he's in peak mode right now. He's in peak DM mode.
I'm still not embarrassed by my slide because there was nothing except me just saying like, that was really sweet. I'm happy for you. That's all it was. Okay. And then I sent a vag pic. No, I'm just kidding. I don't even know what that would be. That would be insane.
Okay. Next sliving question.
Sliving.
What is the worst date you've ever been on and why?
The worst date I've ever went on was a guy I met on Raya, and I went up to his house in the hill. Like after I just was going over to his place to like smoke weed with him. Like that was the activity. And I had no intention of hooking up, just wanted to hang out. And we were having a great time. And then all of a sudden he like got a call from his agent, and I assumed it was like a fake call because he was like, what the hell? Well, I told them to not release that yet. And that he like all of a sudden was freaked out and was like, I'm so sorry, you gotta go. And then all of a sudden all of his roommates came home. There was like, not roommates, but like friends came over. There was like seven guys that all walked in, and none of them acknowledged that I was there. It was like me and him alone in his pool. And all these guys started coming in, like filming themselves and on their phones, like ignoring me. I truly felt like I was on Punk'd. Like I was like, what is happening? This is bizarre behavior. And the guys on the phone like, I'm so sorry. And I go, I'm going to go. And he's like, yeah. And it was so weird. And then so I had figured this was fake. Like this was all done. He was realized we weren't going to have sex. So he wanted to like come up with a big diversion, but then he claimed it wasn't. He was like, no, something got released too soon. And I go, well, then your friends are weird. And I don't really want to date someone whose friends wouldn't introduce themselves to me. So bye.
Yes. What is the craziest rumor you've ever heard about yourself?
That I like sleep with people for stage time. I think that's the most insane thing, because if you know me, I like would never do anything I don't believe in myself enough to like, I'm going to trick someone into giving this to me and then I can get on TV or get on stage and do my thing. Like I don't believe in myself at all. And I need people to like force me to do jobs. I'm better about it now, but the idea that I would be like, I'm going to blow someone so I can get on at the funny bone and tonight like is truly insane. But that was a rumor about me for a while from a female comic that was on the scene when I was starting, who was jealous of my arrival. She was a little bit older than me. And so she starts just telling people that I was sleeping with people for stage time. Meanwhile, I was a virgin. And I was like, I swear I'm not. No one believed me. They all trusted her. And it was a reputation that like pretty much drove me out of a comedy scene for a few years because it was so bad. But that idea that girls sleep with people for stage time. Yeah, I'm sure it's been done, but you won't last unless you're good at blowing these guys. I'm just kidding. No, at your talent. So yeah.
Yes. What is the craziest thing you've done lately?
Oh God. You asked this to someone else, and I was like, I hope she doesn't ask me that because I want to be honest, but I don't know if I want to disclose the thing. You know what I'll say is that I took a step towards having having something that I don't think I deserve. I am into the way that I've pleasured myself while I've been single has led me to realize that I'm very interested in certain sex things that are not to be ashamed of, that I might, that I would be very scared to explore, but that I'm like, why do I just like get to watch people do this and I don't get to do it? And so I've taken tiny steps to like maybe make some of these like insane ideas come to fruition and like maybe be a thing. Like, I don't know.
And what's the category that we're talking about?
Like, just like very, just safe, consensual things, but things that are like, oh my God, would I sign up for that? Like, you know, just like, she's just in, stuff that's like a little rough, bit like,
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, well, not necessarily, but like, yeah, like just stuff that you need in order to have that fulfilled. You need to find someone who actually like likes it too. It's like looking for a tennis partner, like someone who plays at your level. That's totally kind of what I'm in search of. And that's what I'm kind of treating it as, because if I start treating it as sex and like, it means intimacy and all these things, I'm like, oh, I can't. But if I'm just like, I just want to like do my hobby, that is like makes it a little bit more approachable.
Play with a couple of fuzzy tennis balls. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Who knows what I'll get into, but I took the first steps to be like, okay, I'm going to see if I'm not committed to anything, but let's see.
Okay.
Good.
That's hot.
Keep us updated.
I shall.
Loves it. What is the accomplishment that you are most proud of?
I would say, my friend group and just the people I've attracted in life in terms of like, even, you know, getting into comedy and then being friends with some of my heroes, including yourself. And then my core group of friends that I've had forever. Just, I'm like, wow, you're really good at this. Like, you surround yourself with people that love you so much. So I think that's like, whenever I get down about myself of like, oh, you're not as good at comedy as this person, or you're not as pretty as this person, I'm like, but you have the best friends. And it makes me feel really good. Like, I'm very confident of that.
That's sweet. And what is your top beauty secret?
My beauty secret? Oh, Paris. Okay, hold on. I have so many, but okay. Can I just list a bunch? Who cares? Like, yeah. There's no rules. Okay. First of all, spray tans for a girl who's like a Caucasian woman. I'm just telling you, it will take your hotness up 30%. It just right away. And I'm not kidding you. 30% on the spot. Add fake lashes to that. We're going to bump up another 10%. Okay. So now we're talking, you felt like a 6. You are now at a 10. You're 10 now for what, like, you're as good as you can be. And you think these things will not change your looks that drastically. Just you wait. It is night and day. And also eyeliner in the waterline on the top lid, not the bottom. Boom.
I like it. I do all those things too.
Yes. But
spray tans are life.
Life. Don't go out in the sun. Not real tan. Mm. Spray tan. And don't feel like I'm going to look orange. You might, but it's better than your pasty winter skin.
Portofino is the best because they make custom colors. So
yes,
it's like gold.
They put like purples in it. Like sometimes so I'm like, good. What are you making? They're like chemists. Yeah. So good.
I'm obsessed.
I'll do it for the first time and I'll come onto the podcast and we'll see if it works. Oh my God. Across genders.
And the eyelashes.
It does.
The eyelashes. I don't know if I don't like when people bring those little clippy things close to my things to try and curl them. Like when girls do that as like a bit, I'm like, you know,
but it would make you hotter. Not really? That you need it, but I'm telling you guys, if they wore mascara, like the color of their eyelashes that we couldn't tell, you would get more girls. Whenever guys have on makeup from like set, they always look better. And I swear to God, my roommate, my best friend, who's going to be my podcast co-host, his name's Andrew Collin. He's my best friend. He's a straight guy out there single, trying to get laid. I convinced him to get a spray tan the other day, 'cause I'm doing this show where they come and spray tan me once a week. And the lady popped up the tent and he's sitting there on the couch and he's getting in shape. And I go, you're going to spray him. And he goes, no, I don't need, oh no, I'm going to lay out in the sun. I go, you're going to get a spray tan and you're going to see what I've been talking about all along. And my God, this guy, he could not stop looking at himself. He took so many selfies. He's never felt hotter and more confident. He couldn't believe it. And I'm like, I've been telling you 30% all along. So it does translate. You got to get one. And I can't wait to see it.
Yes.
Yes. You have to please. For sure.
Okay. Maybe we'll talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Just once. You can scrape it off later.
You could scrape it off?
Not scrape it.
Yeah, you can like loofah it off.
Yeah, loofah. Like body scrub it off.
Okay.
So it's not that brittle.
There's no commitment. It's very non-committal. It's like less than a henna tattoo commitment.
All right. I'll think about it.
No, you have to do it.
You have to.
You have to. Paris, you have to do this.
If Paris says I have to do it, I have. No, I'm not going to start doing. I'm not going to start getting anything regularly. But
they're
I might
addictive.
Do it for a bit.
I'm obsessed. I have a spray tan machine at my house.
Dude, I mean, it's such a necessary thing. I'm not kidding you. Once you see yourself under, you're going to get it for every time you do TV. At least that. You should do that for yourself because you will look so much better. And it's not because you need to look better, but why not take it up a notch if you could?
Oh, Jesus.
If it's a spray tan away.
I do TV every day. This is going to be a vicious cycle.
I know. Well, let's get that machine in your place.
Okay.
Stat.
All right. We have one more question.
Okay.
What's a flaw of yours that you always fall back into?
These are such good questions, by the way. Okay. I want to give you a good answer. Well, I'll just say it before someone else says it. I talk too much and I can like railroad the conversation. I definitely did that today. And I try to keep it quippy and I just can't. And sometimes I talk too much and it's like my ADD and I'm doing it right now about talking too much. So that's something I'm trying to fix and not being a mic hog. And I didn't do a great job of it today, but I don't know. I'm nervous and I talk a lot when I get nervous.
I'm nervous
around Paris still.
You don't have to worry about that at all.
You're great.
Okay.
And now you have a daily podcast on iHeart. So it's good that you talk a lot because you need to have a lot of content to do a daily podcast.
It's true. It's like you need to be this much of a motor mouth. And I listen to things like I listen to podcasts on double the speed because I just like to consume things quickly. I'm not like a slow person. And I think mine's the only podcast you're going to have to like put on like half the speed because it's going to be very fast, but it's so fun. Like I just, you know, just to plug my podcast a little bit, which it deserves plugging. Usually I'm so embarrassed to do plugs, but this time I'm just like, cause I don't know. I'm always like, I don't deserve this, but this is I'm good at fucking radio and podcasting. And I know what I'm doing. And I took a while to come up with the show because I wanted it to be the show where I show up and I'm having a good time. I hate listening to people having a bad time. And I know people can phone it in. We're professionals, but I hate like going and getting my hair done. And you're like, oh, what are you doing this weekend to your stylist? Or like, you know, the woman doing your hair. And she's like, oh my God, I'm so glad it's Friday. I'm so sick of working. And you go, okay, I'm like, you're still working. And I feel like it just like, it makes the experience of you getting your hair done now tarnished. Cause you're like, oh my God, she hates doing this. And there are sometimes I show up on set and I'm like, I hate this and I'm tired. So I just made this show as enjoyable as possible. So I would always be excited. I'm doing it every day. It's from my apartment. It's with my best friend who moved to St. Louis to live with me because I was living with my parents before and I needed a roommate because I didn't want to live alone. And we're just doing a podcast in my apartment. I'm going to talk about my life, like honestly, kind of use it as a diary, keeping track of the moments in my life. So someday, like I said, my grandkids can come listen to be like, oh, she kept like a journal of sorts because that's how honest I'm going to be. And then we're also going to talk about like the news every day and whatever everyone's talking about that day. Keep it topical, but just the best combo I could find of doing a podcast and a like morning radio show every day. And it's called the Nikki Glaser Podcast and starts March 22nd, Monday. And it's Monday through Thursday. And it's not one of these shows that you've got to listen to every episode before you can get into it. So if you're hearing this and it's next March, like you just jump right in. You'll catch up soon and you don't have to listen to every episode. We'll be there, but subscribe now. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Yes. I can't wait to be on it and I can't wait to hear it.
I know. I DM'd you immediately cause I want you as my first guest and I think it's going to happen. And I've appreciated you so much this year, Paris, like just getting voice messages from you as I'm sitting on my couch with my mom and like having a bad day and feeling like, oh my God, the industry forgot about me. And then all of a sudden I get a DM slide and a voice memo from Paris and I get to play it next to my mom who like is a huge fan as well. And I'm just the coolest person to her, which is all I want is my parents' approval. Like, and you reaching out to me to be on a TV show you made and also coming on Jimmy Kimmel made me look so cool to say, listen, I know this list of celebrities you sent me from the booking department. I don't want any of them. I want my friend Paris Hilton and I'm going to go get her. Yes. And to be able to say that and be like, I'm going to book her myself is like was the coolest thing. So thank you for your friendship and thank you for being so approachable. And I'm really glad that you're doing a podcast and that I got to be a part of it. It's so nice to get to know you in this way.
And
it's so nice to meet you, Hunter. Thank you, Paris.
She got a longer, like, cooler thing about her. And no, I got to thank you at the end. No,
I was fascinated by you. No. That's why I went back and listened to Who is Hunter? And that's when I found out about the girl from Quebec who you met in Costa Rica.
You did your diligent research and I appreciate it. It was really lovely.
It was lovely
meeting you. I'm excited for your podcast. Thanks for coming on.
Well, thanks for having me. And Hunter, I look forward to having you on my show as well. I hope you will be on it because I truly listening to you on this podcast, like you're like really good at what you do. And I respect it as a host and a you know, a TV personality who talks about pop culture. You like do it right. So
it's too late to say all this stuff, but I appreciate it nonetheless.
Oh, it, was coming. You stopped me before I even had a chance. No, you're right. You're right.
No, it's totally fair. And thank you so much. I'd love to. I'm going to wait till you get
through. I just want people to know you're a pro. And I recognize it. The second I heard your voice, I go, oh my God, she found the best guy for the job.
Hell yeah.
But of course she did. She knows what she's doing.
She knows what she's doing. All right. Bye, Nikki.
Love you, Nikki. Thank you.
See you at your wedding.
Yes.
All right.
Love you, sis.
I love you. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to This is Paris. We love hearing from you. So leave us a review. Send an email to paris@iheartradio.com. Leave a voicemail at 833-87-PARIS. And follow us at This is Paris Podcast. Bye, babes.
Follow Paris at Paris Hilton and follow Hunter March, host of E's Nightly Pop at Hunter March.